Yashimin. There'll be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shot on the line. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
That's called a serious header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma, strepitosa in questa via.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks for Rashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice, and not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And
Seattle Sounders in red, green, Toronto FC in red from head to toe. Cut back there from Osorio, feeding it through. Jermaine Defoe, an opportunity for his first MLS goal. 16 and a half minutes into his debut.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Before we get into it, let me get into a little bit of housekeeping first. As usual, you can reach us at the website. It's www.footballweekly.com. Football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can leave comments, show topic ideas. You can also reach me on Twitter at ReginaldDino. All that contact information is on the website, on the Contact Us page. So get to the website, leave me your ideas and your show topics and things like that, and we can see what we can do to accommodate. Lots of things going on in the world of football this week. We could talk about Champions League review. We'll talk about the North London Derby recap. Everton played Liverpool as well. And we'll do a preview of the upcoming games this week as well. And as usual, we'll talk about the Arsenal at the end of the show. So lots of things on my mind going on in the world of football this week. So as usual, sit back, relax, get stuck in, and take in the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be right back with this. As you can tell by the music, we're going to start off with a Champions League recap for this week. big games this week, very big games, big results as well. I liked it. This week was amazing for me. There's very, very key matchups. There were a couple of game of the weeks, if you like to call them that. But we'll start off in Switzerland with Liverpool versus Basel, and I'm only going to recap the top, I guess, three or four or five games of the week. We're not going to get into the Bayern Munich versus whoever, because obviously they won, and the Real Madrid versus Ludogorets or whoever. We're not going to get into those games, but we're going to recap the games that made some noise this week. And like I said, we're going to start off with Liverpool and Basel in Switzerland. And shock result, Basel beats Liverpool 1-0. From what I saw from the game, Liverpool very lucky they bought Mingele. I can tell you that right now, because that cat stood on his head. I mean, it could have been a bad result for Liverpool. It could have been 4 or 5 nothing. 4 or 5 nothing for Basel in that game. Mingele was outstanding in this game. He was stopping everything. Even the goal they scored, he stopped the initial shot, and the defensemen were looking around like, where's George and where's Waldo type of defending, and they were able to slot in the rebound from one of the shots that Mingele saved. So I rate Mingele. Rate him. But the Liverpool defensive strategy, terrible. And you know what? I love to see Liverpool lose. Love it. Love it. Those of you that know me know I hate Liverpool and Man United. Love to see Liverpool lose every chance they get. Steven Gerrard, love it when he loses. Brendan Rodgers, love it. Love to see the cop cry, even though they weren't playing in Liverpool in Anfield. But from what I heard from the game, Liverpool played well, but they couldn't get the goal that they needed. Balotelli was off, Sterling was off, and that's pretty much it. Without Sturridge, that's pretty much their whole attack right there. And if those two are off, then well, obviously you're not going to score a goal. So I don't know how you're going to win games. But when Sturridge comes back, might see a different type of Liverpool attack. But I still don't rate him as a world class striker in the likes of Suarez, where Suarez probably would have won that game for you. He probably would have won that game single-handedly for you. But like I said before, like I've said in previous podcasts, he pulls goals out of his ass. So he might have won that game for them, but he's not playing there. He would have been suspended anyway, but for the bite in the World Cup. But anyways, Marco Strella scores in the 54th minute of the game, and they take the 3 points from Liverpool. Love to see Brendan Rodgers lose games, and the excuses and the this and the that. I love it. My new nickname for Brendan Rodgers is David Moyes 2.0. And I know it's long. David Moyes made the mistake of leaving his team, Everton, that he's coached for, I think, 8 or 9 years, maybe even 10, where the fans, the chairman of the team, all the supporters, and pretty much everybody was, this guy's making chicken salad out of chicken shit. And I'm talking about David Moyes. They're finishing in 5th. They're finishing in 6th, 7th place. And this is amazing with the budget that he has. He's got $15 million to spend in the transfer market, and he's getting a team to finish 6th, 7th in the Premier League. It's amazing. It's amazing. But then you get too big for your britches and you think, oh, you know what? And you start believing the hype. You know what? I can coach a big team. Let me go coach a big team with a big, big budget. And I can buy whoever I want. And you go to Man United and you flame out in 1 year. Whether it's his tactics or whether it's the people he bought or whether it's whatever the circumstances are. He flames out. And I think that's the road that Brendan Rodgers is heading down right now. Because he had a good thing going out in Swansea. You know, you're coaching this team from the from the championship, the league below the Premier League. You brought them up. They're surviving. You're finishing 12th, 13th. You were supposed to be. Usually the teams that get promoted are going right back down the next year. Unless they do a major investment in the team. But he brings them up, 12th, 13th, 11th, 10th. Whoa, this guy's doing big things. Okay, should have stayed there. Should have stayed there and saw the project out. Decides, you know what, just like the players do. Decides, you know what, I've outgrown my stay here. I can coach a bigger team. I'm going to take the Liverpool job. And you take the Liverpool job with probably the top three strikers in the world. Never thinking that you're going to sell him eventually down the road. Okay, so you last year you were in the Premier League runnings to win it until Steven Gerrard slipped against Chelsea and Demba slotted them out of the out of the runnings. I love that too, but now you don't have Suarez anymore, and Sturridge is hurt, and now you're struggling to get wins. You're struggling to get ties even. Struggling. And you know what? Love it. Love it. But that's my rant on Liverpool. my weekly rant on Liverpool. Hate them. And it's not so much the hate for them is not so much the way they play or the people they have. I just slimy club. And the way that everybody in the EPL bends over backwards to accommodate them and their bullshit history is just, well, I know I'm probably going to get raked over the coals for that comment, but yeah, I think it's a bullshit history too. So, just the way they get away with stuff and the way they act and the way, like I've said in previous podcasts, it's every week it's something. to do with Liverpool. We gotta wear a black armband because this, that, and the third happened. And then, like I said, I understand Hillsborough. Understand it. We can celebrate that, you know, every year on the date. No problem with that. But it just seems like it's every year, every week, it's something with Liverpool that we gotta stand up and moment of silence for this, a moment of silence for that. And it's enough. It's enough for me. The magic of the cop and all this shit that they talk about, it's enough for me. Anyway, like I said, I'm not a Liverpool fan, so whatever. Going on to the next game, we're going to hit Sporting and Chelsea. Chelsea won that game 1-0. Watch the highlights of that game. I didn't get to watch the whole game. From what I saw, though, Chelsea had about 3 or 4 or 5 breakaways, like clear-cut breakaways. Final score should have been 3-4-0 at least. Like, I mean, Diego Costa in the first 3 minutes of the game got a breakaway where the goalie came out and saved it. But they seem to be comfortable in the win. They're playing Sporting Lisbon. Nani's there. A transfer target for Arsenal. Willian Carvalho's there as well. But Sporting had some chances as well, and like I said before, this is just from the highlights that I watched because I wasn't able to watch the whole game. But I think Diego Costa actually played the full game, and they have a game coming up against Arsenal this weekend on Sunday, which is probably the biggest game of the weekend, this upcoming weekend. So we'll see how that leaves him. I know he was injured. Diego Costa was a little bit injured going into the game, so we'll see how that leaves him in for Sunday. Marquee game of the week, though. And if you haven't had a chance to watch this game, go on Kick-Ass Torrents and download this game. I watched the whole thing. PSG versus Barcelona. Best game of the week. Best game of the week by far. This was end to end. And I mean, when I say end to end, I mean it's a counterattack versus counterattack versus counterattack versus counterattack. This game was amazing. If you haven't seen it, download it, watch it. Great game. Great game. PSG was even missing Ibra. They were missing Thiago Silva. Lavezzi didn't play. And it was probably one of the best games I've seen so far this year. And I mean, it's early, but obviously, but one of the best games I've seen this year. David Luiz scores a goal, and it wasn't a header, and it wasn't a lucky shot. He actually did pretty well to score that goal. And then 90 seconds later, tiki-taka rules. I'm going to put this goal up on the website. What a goal. Barcelona comes back and scores a goal 90 seconds after David Luiz puts PSG in the lead. What a goal. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you want to know exactly what I'm talking about, go to the website and click on the golazo of the week, and you'll see a tiki-taka goal like you've never seen before. But yeah, Messi put that in, by the way. And there's lots of chances in the game. Like I said, it was end to end, so it was exciting, and it was fast paced, and it was quick counters, and it was beautiful to watch. That's the way football should be played. It was like a video game, actually, very much like a video game. Verratti scored off a corner kick to put them up 2-1. And then I believe it was Matuidi that scored for PSG to put them up 3-1. And then 30 seconds after that, Neymar scores. This is in the second half. Neymar scores 30 seconds after the 3-1 goal goes in. So now it's 3-2, and it's just, you're just waiting. Honestly, watching this game, it could have been 5-4, 6-5. You're waiting for the next goal to go in. Beautiful game to watch. Like I said, if you haven't seen it, kick-ass torrents or whatever website you use to download download media. You got an Android box. Go to Football Replays, that repo, and watch this game. Fantastic game. And Ibra wasn't even playing. And Lavezzi wasn't playing. And Thiago Silva wasn't playing, and it was still the game of the week. It was billed as the game of the week, and it lived up to the billing. That's for damn sure. Next, we're going to go on to Man City versus Roma. That game finishes off 1-1. Man City scores on a penalty shot, and it's at the Etihad, Manchester City's home field, and Maicon fouls Aguero, and Aguero slots in the PK, and then they're up 1-0. But I watched the extended highlights of this game, and Roma was all over them. Unless the guy who cut the video was a Roma fan, Roma was all over them. About 30 seconds after the penalty shot went in from Aguero, Maicon came down and ripped the ball off the crossbar. You're talking about 8 inches from being 1-1 30 seconds after they score. And then it's squeaky bum time in Manchester, and it's only 9 minutes into the game. But, and I know I shit on Italian football all the time because it's slow. And there's no tactics. And guys can play when they're 40 and be stars. But Francesco Totti impressed me this game. Actually, so did Gervinho, actually, a former Arsenal player. But Francesco Totti, at 38 years old, outrunning players? It's not bad. It's not bad at all. He scored the tying goal to make it 1-1. Beautiful goal. Debating whether to put it up on the website. It wasn't, I mean, just for the fact that he's 38 years old and he got onto that ball and outran Vincent Kompany to semi-chip it over Joe Hart. It was actually a pretty good goal. You know what? Yeah, I'll put it up as well so everyone can see that as well. But Francesco Totti's 38 years old. He became the oldest player to score in a Champions League game, breaking the record of Ryan Giggs. But great game. That was a great game as well. Chances galore for both teams. But I would still give the nod to Roma. Absolutely give the nod to Roma. They came out with no fear. They came out to play. They weren't coming here to get a tie. They weren't coming to the Etihad to get a tie. They were going out to win. And they should. They're a stacked team. They're a stacked team in the Serie A. So they should be going out to get the win. And a very interesting game to watch in the Serie A would be a Roma-Juventus game. I will actually watch that. Believe it or not, I will actually watch that game if I can get it on the TV. So those are the four games that we did discuss and that we did recap. So we'll just run down some of the other teams that won this week, this week's Champions League fixtures that they were in. Bayern Munich won. Atletico beat Juventus 1-0, which is surprising to me. Losing their best striker, or their top goal scorer, actually, from last season. And Diego Simeone still has these guys firing all cylinders is amazing to me. They beat Juventus 1-0. Real Madrid won. Borussia Dortmund won. And a new segment we're going to start this week, actually, is we're going to track Manchester United's forays throughout Europe. And we're going to start with the Champions League, actually, and see how they did. Okay. All right. So, well, maybe we should go over to Europa League and see how they did in Europa League this week. Shoot. I guess that's my bad. My bad, everybody. Sorry. They're not in Europe in any competitions. My fault. I'm sorry. That's for Wayne, you bastard. But anyways, moving on. We're going to move on to Arsenal. And speaking of Manchester United, they decided to sell one of their players that they deemed surplus requirements. Arsenal took him off the scrap heap for £16 million at the transfer deadline. And I'm talking about Danny Welbeck.
Congratulations. How would you describe Danny Welbeck's performance tonight?
He had a great performance. I think he added that instinct of a goal scorer, was more aggressive.
However, when he went to Arsenal, it just completely took off for him. And if Arsene Wenger can work with Danny Welbeck in the same way as he can, or he did with Thierry Henry, he'll get an absolute bag full of goals consistently playing.
Mm. Time, just tell us how it feels to score that hat-trick.
Yeah, I'm obviously delighted to get the goals in. I think the most important thing was that we got our 3 points on the board tonight, and we needed that after the first game in the group.
So where's the match ball?
I forgot it, didn't I? But it should be. I'll get it after.
Arrived, I guess. And when I say hero, I'm talking about Danny Welbeck. And for those of you that didn't see the game or don't know what's going on, Arsenal won their Champions League game against Galatasaray in the in the Emirates 4-1. And Danny Welbeck got his first career, professional career, hat trick in that game. He scored 3 goals. And it's a talk of the town in London, well, the red part of London anyway. Well, I should say the Arsenal part of London, because there's numerous teams in London. Some of them might wear red, but the Arsenal town, the Arsenal part of the town, main man, men of the hour. And I'm not here to shit on anyone's parade, okay? That's not what I'm here to do. But let's calm down a little bit until this guy becomes prolific. Because I've read a lot of things, I've read a lot of articles and seen a lot of posts on Facebook and comparing him to Thierry Henry, and let's slow down a little bit. Let's slow down a little bit. It's one game, he scored 3 goals. Fantastic. Bettner scored 3 goals in a game as well. Let's remember that. Now, I watched this game. PVR didn't watch it. The strength, the speed, the ability to get into the right positions. Also, the work rate, fantastic. 10 out of 10 for me. But that's not his... That's not the knock against him. The knock against him is his finishing. And the knock against him at Manchester United was he needs 10 chances to score 2 goals. And that's not good enough at this level. And I always keep harkening back to Luis Suarez. You give Luis Suarez 10 chances, he scores 8. 2 out of 10 ain't good. So, I think he's doing well, adjusting to the team. I think Ozil played amazing as well. Sanchez was fantastic. I think the Ox did well as well that game. And of course, we're going to give the plaudits to Danny Welbeck. Of course, he scored 3 goals. But the comparisons to Thierry Henry have to stop here. You're never... Until his career is done here at Arsenal, and we can look back and say, you know what? It's kind of close. Let's dig deeper and see the stats between the two. We can't talk about St. Arsenal like that. And I call Thierry Henry St. Arsenal. Because in my time watching the Arsenal, I know there's players before only Liam Brady and players like that, but George Graham and things like that. But my time watching Arsenal, no one's going to touch Thierry Henry. And just like no one's going to touch Patrick Vieira in the midfield. Not yet, anyway. People talk about Jack Wilshere and this, that, and the third, but Patrick Vieira and Thierry Henry, untouchables in my book. In their respective positions. I wanted to talk about Matthew Flamini for a little bit as well. That guy for me is the best defensive midfielder for this team in a long while. My personal football philosophy is, sure, everybody wants to play the nice tiki-taka Barcelona, or like I like to say, Barcelona, because we play this, Arsenal and Barcelona pretty much try to play the same way. But you like to see that tiki-taka, nice play, and blah, 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 blah. But for the nice plays to happen, somebody's got to be in the back doing the dirty work. You can't have a Thiago Silva and a PK on every team who play nice at the back and they make it look effortless. You got to have someone who's willing to go into the trenches and do the dirty work to get the ball back and give it to the players. Like Wilshire and try to get the ball up to the players like Giroud and Welbeck and Ozil and those type of players. And the player for me, there's two players in my past that I've been watching for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years that were masters at this. And both have World Cups to their names. One is Dunga from Brazil, and the other one is Didier Deschamps. Those guys did the dirty work so that Zidane could shine, so that fat Ronaldo could shine, so that Ronaldinho could shine. I'm going to be the guy that runs my balls off, that chases the guy that you lost the ball to get it back, to give it back to you, so you can do a 3,000 step overs and then put it back to and put the ball back post. You need a player. Every team needs a player like that. And that's the player I'm going to build my team around. It's a defensive midfielder that's going to tackle. But it's not just enough to be able to tackle. You got to be able to tackle and play the ball. Okay? Got to be able to tackle a person, be an opposing stature in the game. Be able to body people, strength, skill, and be able to play the ball into the feet of whoever needs to get the ball so that you can create chances. And I keep going back to Patrick Vieira. Patrick Vieira was a perfect defensive midfielder. He'll kill you in the tackle. He'll get the ball. He'll pop it over your head, and he'll play it into Thierry Henry on the run. And Thierry Henry will slot it back. Well, what an assist. Great assist from Vieira. But nobody talks about the tackle he made to get the ball back. And that's what Flamini is to me. And you also need to have the mindset, and I'm talking about Flamini, needs to have the mindset to have that mindset of, I'm not a star on this team. I got to do the dirty work, and this is what I'm here for. If I win 30 tackles and we score 5 goals off those 30 tackles that I made, I know I'm not going to get any of the praise. But I know in myself, and my coach knows, that those goals came from me. Those are the type of players you need playing in those positions. And I think Matthew Flamini should be playing defensive midfield for Arsenal for as long as he can. I know Arsenal fans out there want to have a holding midfielder that can slap balls and play the long ball onto someone's chest on the run and this, that, and the third. But you need a guy that can tackle as well. He's the protection for the back four. He's the first line of defense for the back four. You don't have a good holding, or you don't have a good tackling defensive midfielder, your defense is going to be on the run the whole game. Whole game. And I feel Flamini should be the second name on the team sheet after Szczesny, the goalie. Loved him when he played for us 3-4 years ago. Loved his attitude. Love him now. Only thing is, his reputation precedes him. Anything he does that's deemed untowards, yellow card. Case in point. Felipe Melo. Okay, in the Champions League game on Wednesday. Alexis Sanchez gets the ball on the wing. Brings it down, controls it. Felipe Melo comes in, 2 feet off the ground, all 12 showing. And people were asking me, what does all 12 mean? I have a podcast show title named All 12. And people were asking me, what does all 12 mean? All 12 is when you have, for the pitches that these guys play on, they usually play in 6 studs. So when you have all 12, that means both your feet are in the air and you can see all 12 of the studs on the bottom of your foot, which is not a good thing, by the way. But all 12 were showing and went through him. Alexis Sanchez, I'm talking about, went through him. My books, and most people's books, that's a straight red. As soon as both feet leave the ground in that type of position, it's a straight red. Referee comes over, gives him a yellow card. Don't know why, but I'm not sitting here saying it's a conspiracy theory against Arsenal or whatever or whatnot. But no, I'm not saying that at all. Should have been a straight red. Don't know why he didn't give them a red. Or give Felipe Melo a red. No idea why. But okay. You know, Flamini being a professional, you got to pick your spots. So in the second half, right? Still in the first half. The best player on Galatasaray gets the ball. Flamini flies right through him. right through the back of him. Picks up a yellow card. No problem. But that's the type of player you need on your team. You go after one of our best players on our team, I'm going after your best player on your team. Case in point again. And this is a little bit different, but it shows the attitude that Flamini has when he's playing for a team. And these are the type of guys you want on your team. Arsenal's playing in the Emirates Cup preseason exhibition games. And they're playing against Falcao's old team, Monaco. Okay? And they're losing. We're losing. No big deal. I think it was 1-0 we're losing. No big deal. One of the guys on Monaco decides, you know what? It's an exhibition game. No one's really going to tackle me. I'm going to do some flicks and some tricks. And he's standing up by the corner flag. And I forget which defender on Arsenal was back there. I think it was Bellerin. He was back there. And he's just watching him doing all these step overs and this, that, and the third. Out of the corner of your eye, you just see Flamini sliding in. I'll say, not all 12, but I'll say 8. Showing. And took him right off his feet. But that's the type of player you need on your team. And I'm not saying go out and hurt guys. That's the last thing I'm saying. But if you're winning and you're going to showboat, I need someone that's going to go and say, no, not on our home field, you're not doing this. And if you're hitting our best player, not on our home field, you're doing this. And anywhere you're doing this, because I will go after your best player. And that's why I love Flamini. I'll give the time of day to Flamini any time of the. And like I said, he's the second name on my list. Now, Arsene Wenger doesn't see it that way. That's fine. But for me, he's got to be in. He's the only guy that tackles with that type of force where people have to actually, yo, where is that guy? Where is he? Where is number 20? Got to make sure that he's not around me when I pick up the ball. Because people get nervous when he's around. And that's the type of player you need. Moving back. London Derby happened last weekend. Tottenham versus Arsenal. Same old story. Not the same old story with Arsenal, but the same old story in football. If you don't score your chances, if you get 10 chances and don't score, if you get 10 chances on a team that you should be, that you're 10 times better than, it's a guarantee that they will score on you. And that's exactly what happened. Arsenal should have been up 2-3-0. And the game should have been done and dusted. With all the possession and the chances that they were making. But they didn't score. Tottenham got maybe 2 or 3 counterattacks. And they scored on one of them. Now we're down 1-0. And panic stations start to set in. Everyone's going crazy. And eventually the Ox saves us, but still. Just like in Champions League that we talked about in other podcasts, and just like in league play and any other sport, football, hockey, whatever, you miss chances to score, you're going to get punished. Look at Liverpool this week in Champions League. Fail to score, you get punished. Now you might lose some, you might tie some, you might even squeak some out at the end. But you're leaving points on the floor when you don't score your chances. And Arsenal's They've always been depicted as trying to score the perfect goal. I call it the tiki-taka times 10 goal. Because they want to tiki-taki it right into the back of the net. You gotta shoot. Have to shoot. Gotta take shots on net. I don't care if they go 10 feet over the net, 10 feet wide, either side. At least the defensemen know and the goalie knows that, okay, these guys are ready to shoot. Anyone playing Arsenal knows, hey, yeah, just, you know, they're gonna try to 1-2 us to death inside the 18-yard box. Doesn't happen like that. Not in this league. As a former coach used to tell us when we were trying ridiculous shit that wouldn't work, he would tell us, not in this league. It's never gonna work in this league. And it's not gonna work in the Premier League. So the Arsenal, they need to start shooting long range shots. I'm not saying 30 yards out, but when you get to the top of the 18, you gotta pull it. At least show them that you're willing to shoot. So maybe the defensemen come out to challenge you, and then the space opens up behind, and you can play a through ball through. But everyone just sits back because they know you're gonna try to tiki taka inside the 6 yard box, inside the 18 yard box, to try to get the perfect goal. So the London Derby ended up 1-1. For me, that's points dropped. For Tottenham, they're ecstatic about that. But for me, that's points dropped. Upcoming this week, this Sunday, Arsenal travels to Stamford Bridge, home of Chelsea, home of Cesc Fabregas, former Arsenal captain. Home of the infamous drubbing we got last season where the game was over and at the first 20 minutes of the game was done. All the players in Arsenal are saying the right things. You know, we figured out our problems from last season. We're going to come into Stamford Bridge and we're going to show you what we've learned. Danny Welbeck's off a hat trick. Ozil's playing better. Sanchez is the lightning spark. Wilshere's going to be back. The defense is solid. Everyone's saying the right things. But I hear these things before every game. I heard these things before the Liverpool game last season when they got thumped. And the game, and like again, the game was over in the first 15 minutes. It was 4-0. I think Diego Costa is going to cause problems. And I know that's saying the obvious, but I think he's going to cause serious problems to our defense because our defense isn't fast. If he ever gets one-on-one with Mertesacker, I think that's problems. And Arsenal fans might disagree with me and what are you talking about and this, that, and the third and being negative and whatever, but I'm trying to be real. I think that's problems. And if Mourinho was And if Jose Mourinho, the coach of Chelsea, was a little bit brave, if you want to call it that, I think he's very brave. But me, I could see a Didier Drogba and Diego Costa front two, and let Arsenal deal with that. That's what I would do. And in the 75th minute, 70th minute, bring on Remy for whoever's not playing that well. And then another dimension of attack. Personally, that's what I would do. So I really hope that Arsenal is ready for that. Going forward, I got no problems with Arsenal. The attack, the movement, the speed of going forward, no problem. It's just coming back. Ozil's not going to get back. And Ozil's finally playing in the position he was born to play in. So he doesn't have to get back. With Flamini back there, like I said before, his reputation is going to precede him. So he's going to get a yellow card and have to be very careful about making certain tackles. Callum Chambers, even though I think he's an animal, I was watching him play during the Galatasaray game, the Champions League game this past week. For 12 or what? 12, 13 million pounds? That's probably the best signing Arsenal's made in the last 2 years. Even with Sanchez and Ozil. For that little money? That kid's great. But there were times in that game where he would get caught and he'd be flapping his arms, pushing, elbowing, committing fouls that he doesn't have to commit if he's in the right position. So he's still got a learning curve. Still got a learning curve for this level. I know he's been playing in the Premier League and he's playing for Southampton and whatnot, but he's never played in the Champions League, and Southampton, Chelsea would be everyone's looking at Chelsea just saying, yeah, they're going to kill you. Don't make it that bad. Don't let them score 6-7 goals. And that's your job for the day. But to be in the Arsenal, Chelsea, still London derby, not the London derby that Arsenal fans are used to, but still a London derby. You know, it's a little pressure pack for the kid, and I want the kid to succeed, and I can't wait to see what he brings, but I got a bad feeling about that if he's playing on the right back there. I saw him commit a couple of fouls that should have been called in the Galatasaray game that weren't, but I have a feeling that the referees in the Premier League will make those calls, so might put us in a little bit of a predicament back there at right back. But like I said, this is just all my speculation. I could be wrong. I'm not a fortune teller. He could prove me wrong and be the man of the match. But I just think he needs a little bit more time. And I'm talking about Callum Chambers to progress within the Premier League and understand exactly what Arsenal needs him to do. So we'll see what happens in the game this weekend on Sunday. But looking at the time, my time is up. As usual, you can reach us at footballweekly.com. Football spelled FUTBOL, weekly.com. You can get at me at Twitter at Reginald Dino. And you can leave show topic ideas, show comments on previous shows and things like that. If you want to hear about anything that we're not discussing, I try to keep away from Syria because it's so boring. But after watching Roma play, I might have to touch on that a little bit. A little bit, but don't tell anybody. So get on the website, get stuck in, and keep listening to the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Thanks for listening.